Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be in a listen-only mode throughout the duration of today's conference. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. If you need assistance during your call, please press star zero, and I will assist you. Now, I will turn the call over to Nancy Couch. You may begin.
Well, thanks, Angela, and good morning, everyone. As mentioned, my name is Nancy Couch. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the Tivoli North America Brand Enablement Leader. And I'd like to welcome all of you to the last call in the series focused on pricing and configuration. Today's call will cover pricing for TSRM, TWS, CCMDB, and TATM, Network Performance Management, Intellidon, Working with TechLine, Z-Linux, and subcapacity pricing. We've included the additional topics that you requested information on in this call today, so we have quite a variety of topics to cover. We are also working on a Tivoli talk to cover the pricing tools for Z-Secure and pricing for TSIEM. This came up in the security pricing discussion, so we are following up on that as well. And just a couple of reminders before we get started. The materials and replays are posted for the prior calls that focused on Omnibus, ITM and ITCAM, security and storage. The links are in the calendar invitations for the call series. And the presentation for today's call is posted on the website in the calendar invitation for internal participants and on Partner World for business partners. On the internal site, just click on the download button for the presentation or double-click on the session title and hit the media button. If you have any problems downloading the presentation, please contact me at nkelch@us.ibm.com. At this time, I'd like to introduce and thank the presenter for today's session, George Hunter from the Worldwide Enablement Team. George kicked off the session with a great discussion on Omnibus pricing, and it's great to have him back to close out the series with the topics today. So, George, I'll turn the call over to you.
Well, thank you, Nancy, and also I want to, you know, even though he's not on the call, thank Mike Madsen for putting this call series together. It certainly, you know, as a sales rep myself for, you know, 20 years, it certainly is one of the legs of the stool that we have to have in our arsenal, and that is to understand how our products are priced and packaged, and his keen sense to know that, you know, we need to get this together, we need to help the reps understand how these solutions are priced was very important in putting this together, so thanks to Mike for that. And also, I cannot take credit for the, you know, the theme to today's call, things that make you go, is, I believe, a nod to one of the more popular 1980s songs that Mike suggested we use as one of the titles, so that's also to him. But and the reason it was named that is just that it's a kind of a combination of several of the topics that we get questions on all the time. And they're difficult to understand for most people, but some people, you know, understand each of them, you know, very well, but possibly not the group of them collectively. So today, as Nancy mentioned, we're going to go through Tivoli Service Request Manager, and unless you've sold Help Desk in the past, some of these terms might be foreign to you, so we'll get those explained. Tivoli Workload Scheduler, which is, I think, three or four on the list of most revenue-generating products in the Tivoli portfolio. So it would be a shame not to, you know, talk about this product so that you know how to position it when it comes up. CCMDB and TATM constantly get questions on these solutions, and we're going to alleviate a lot of the problems there. Network performance management is a growing concern. We get a lot of questions recently on how to price this. We're going to go through the Flow Analyzer product today and, you know, and help you understand how this product is priced so you're not having any concerns there. Intellidon, we're going to spend just a few moments on that because the pricing is actually going to change in August where it's going to become part of the PPA offering. So I'm going to tell you what it is now. I'm going to tell you who to contact, but then also note that we're going to do a special pricing series, you know, shortly after the introduction of the new PPA pricing with Intellidon. We're going to talk about working with TechLine and some of the little-known facts about, you know, these solutions, because there's some things in there that could help you speed up your sales process when you're doing RFP responses that you may not have been aware of, and I'll show you how to get to that, some links to that. We're going to talk about subcapacity, and we're going to summarize how you sell into the Genelinux world. So if you put your presentation on full presentation mode, it actually will flow a little bit better. So I just got done with page 2, and I'm going to go on to page 3. Now, on page 3, here are the parts that are associated with Tivoli Service Request Manager. There's no base install with this product. It's just simply, you know, you're selling the concurrent users and you're selling the authorized users for this product. And with that, you get all of the, you know, specific server components, the add-on components that are necessary. Now, there is one other component. If you're selling into a service provider or a managed or an organization, a business partner that would like to do help desk or service desk for other customers, for this, there's a separate install that I've listed on the third line item, DOB or D0B T4LL, and this allows your customer to use the product for other customers. You know, our typical terms and conditions of our licensing does not allow for our customers to, you know, use this product off of their site. You know, it's not a site license necessarily, but it specifically says in the language that this licensing is for this site. And they need this product if they're going to manage other sites, right? So moving on to page 3, let's give you an example. If you have 10 service desk employees that must have access at all times, and we'll have this screen up at all times. So you never want to restrict this person from getting into the system. You have 10 people that are like this, and these are actually the service desk employees. Then you have 10 IT directors, a CIO, and 2 IT VPs or help desk supervisor that need access to run reports, approve requests, and can share 3 licenses. So as we scroll down, we have our 10 service desk employees. They need the authorized user license, and that would be just $28,000, which is 10 times the authorized user individual price. Then you have the 13 managers sharing 3 licenses between them. That means that any 3 of them can be in the system at any one time. However, the 4th person, you know, legally cannot be in the system. Now, I will tell you that there's no restriction. They're not going to be kicked out of the system when they try to join. We just have to work with our customers and manage their high watermark that the product does report on how many people have been in the system at any one time. And with that, you might be in a situation where you need to sell them additional concurrent license. But on average, your customer is telling you that only 3 of us are going to be in at any one time. You sell them 3 of the concurrent licenses, so the total price is $49,000. Pretty easy. Okay. Now let's take the situation on moving on to page 4, where we have 120 service desk employees divided into 3 shifts. Think of a large call center, like an IBM, or with me in Oak Brook, we actually are in the same building as Sears, where we host their service desk, and that's the way they work out, is they have shifts that they come in at different times. So these people are going to share licenses, and then you have 3 managers that need access all the time to run reports constantly, and they do not want to be restricted. So kind of a reverse of the prior example, but I give you these examples because these are, you know, real-life situations and how your customer thinks about things, and I want you to know that, you know, our products are flexible enough to accommodate this. So if you look at shift 1, there's 40 people, 2, 40 people, and 3, there's 40 people. So you need 40 concurrent licenses, $284,000 for this. Then you need 3 managers that need access at all times. So that's 3 of the authorized users. That total price of $253,242. I apologize. There's a slight math error on that, but it's actually $284,000 plus $84,090. All right. And so I'm going to go through Tivoli Workload Scheduler, and then I'm going to pause for questions. So just hold your questions on Service Request Manager until we get through Tivoli Workload Scheduler. Civilly Workload Scheduler is a very straightforward product. We just simply license all of the cores that are in the are on the servers that are running jobs. So the way that the product works is that it would run a specific job. For instance, let's say we have payroll that needs to run. So payroll is contingent upon an employee record showing that we have X number of employees. So that would be one database. We need to make sure that that's, you know, a job is run that syncs up how many employees are in the organization. And then after that is run, we would need to say, okay, how many people had commission checks? So a revenue report would run. And then after that is run, you would run a report that says, okay, of those commission checks, how many people, you know, will need to get paid for this? So there's a sequence of jobs. So on each of those three servers, however many cores are on those servers is how many licenses you need of the Tivoli Workload Scheduler. So it's a PVU metric for licensing the use of this product. Workload Scheduler is licensed only on the servers where it manages jobs. Workload Scheduler agents are typically installed on the same server where the jobs actually run. There is a caveat to that. We do have an agentless offering, and I'll talk about that at the last page. The master domain manager and backup manager also must be licensed. So this is just like Tivoli Service Request Manager. When there is no part number for the managing server, it's just simply you need PVU licenses of the product, just one part number, but the managing server has to be licensed with that same product number as well. And then the job scheduling console, web GUI, database do not need licenses. So let's take a look at an example. IBM Tivoli Workload Scheduler, example 1. I'm going to read through the right side here first. Master server is a 2-core AAX server with 100 PVUs per core. There's 2 4-core Windows machines with 50 PVU per core. And then there's 4 2-core machines with 100 PVUs per core. Add the number of cores on machines or servers where TVS will run jobs. This is multiplied by the number of PVUs needed per core. And that equals the number of PVUs needed. There's only one part number throughout this whole process, and that's D56MTLL, and it's $34 per PVU. And that's not a 10-pack. That's just simply per PVU. So as we build out this example, we have the 2 cores at 100 PVUs for the master domain manager, and that's what you might consider as the server for this application, $6,800. We have the 2 4-core machines that are 50 PVUs per core, and that's $13,000. And then we have the 2 cores, 4-server, 100 PVUs per core times 34, 27,000 for a total cost of $47,600. Okay, so now we're going to get add in one more part number with our example, with example number 2, where we're talking about attaching SAP, and that's a pretty common scenario. One of the first things any SAP implementation is going to need is the ability to put in an add-on of a better scheduling system than what SAP gives the customer, because it's not a very robust scheduling system, and it doesn't allow for, you know, true integration outside of the SAP environment. So most customers will look for a bolt-on, as they like to call it, that is a scheduler that schedules across the rest of the environment. So here we're going to give the example of just that. Let's say you have a TWS customer, just like the one we had before, at 47,600 worth of licenses, and we want to add the capability to run jobs in the SAP world. Now, to do this, they have 2 8-way dual-core SAP servers, so that's 32 actual cores in this environment. So 2 SAP application servers just running SAP jobs, and that's pretty common. And the reason I point that out is because if you're going to entitle an SAP server, you entitle it with TWS for applications. And TWS for applications is the only thing you need to put on that server if all it is doing is running SAP jobs. And that's pretty common, that you would not want to, you know, run other jobs on your SAP server for reasons of degradation of performance. So a lot of these SAP servers will only be running SAP jobs, and in that case, you will only have to license them for TWS for applications. So in this example, we're adding the 32 cores, and we're licensing it with the $20.15 PVU TWS for applications, which adds an additional $64,480 to our solution for a total of $112.80. So that's how you license Tivoli Workload Scheduler and then Tivoli Workload Scheduler for application. Now, the two other additional points I'd like to make with this is that the solution now, as of October of last year, does also include Workload Broker, which allows you to dynamically move jobs to the server that is not being utilized as much as its, you know, connected server. So you have the ability to dynamically move the workload to, you know, utilize your resources better and get the jobs done quicker. And also, I work closely on many customer situations with this product, as does Glenda Lyons, who is also on my team. We work with Javier, who is the product manager, to, you know, find out what the customer is needing and possibly utilize an agentless offering at a reduced price, or if it's a TSM environment, you would just need to price out the TSM servers, not the endpoints, if all you're doing is running TSM jobs. So there's a lot of play. I encourage you, when you have a new Tivoli Workload Scheduler opportunity, to, you know, get with Glenda Lyons, get with myself, we'll get you in touch with Javier to craft this solution to meet your customers' needs. Okay, so with that, and through those two solutions, I'm going to open it up for any questions. So, operator, I'm not sure if you can give the instructions on how to ask questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your first and last name. Your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. One moment, please, for the first question. First question comes from James Martin. Your line is open.
Hey, George. Surprise.
Hey, Jim.
A couple quick questions. One to
yes,
clarify. I think you said, unlike TSM, where you have to have TSM Extended Edition and then the TSM for Blot add-on, did you say for the SAP you do not have to have the base license running on those SAP servers, or license, I should say?
That is correct, Jim. So if you're just running jobs for SAP, you know, so one of those jobs might be, you know, think of my employees that are in the system, or run a report that tells me how many orders were processed today. That would be a pure SAP application job. And if that's all you're running on that server, the only license you need for that server is Tivoli Workload Scheduler for applications.
Okay. And secondly, you alluded to this a little bit. I just want to clarify. I know there are part numbers for what we call the FTA, Fault Tolerant Agent, and I think there's also a Standard Agent, and then thirdly, an Agent List. Now, we do not have part numbers for the standard agent or the agent list, do we?
No, you do not. So you bring up a good point, Jim. I was going to let Javier handle that on one-off situations, but
sorry.
It is very important for people to understand that we are sometimes priced higher than the competition with the Tivoli Workload Scheduler, so the product management has decided to approach the situation with discounting and pre-approved special bids that map to a strategy where the fault-tolerant agent is at a certain amount of discount, and then a what they would term as a standard agent, which is the exact same part number. It's actually the exact same code. It's just an agreement with the customer that these are going to be servers that are not going to be mission-critical servers but would still need to run jobs, and they would get a higher discount for the same part number. And then the third level of that would be a complete agentless offering where, again, even further down the road as far as like a job will run sometime this month, doesn't really matter when it runs, but it just does need to run. And in those cases, it's even a further discount. But that's where I would encourage you to work with anytime you have a Tivoli workload scheduler opportunity, please get with myself, Linda Lyons, and Javier, and I'll mess up his the actual pronunciation of his last name, but I'll get you that information so that you can, you know, map the best strategy for your customer.
Okay, great. Thanks, George.
Bet.
Next question comes from Bill Bates.
Hi, George. Jim.
Hey, Bill.
Hi. Jim just asked a question I was going to ask about those SAP servers.
Okay.
Was right. Thanks.
Next question comes from Lewis Mills.
Hi, George. The first caller answered one of my questions. Are we also able to price TWS by job rather than by PVU? I've had customers actually ask that. That's the reason for my question.
No, that's another great question. No is the answer to the question. However, you know, with the competitive pressure, since 2002, BMC Software has a very competitive offering, the Control-M offering, that has one of its packagings is price per job. So 5,000 jobs is X amount of dollars, and then on up from there. Javier has noticed that over the last few years that, you know, we have gotten more of the customers that are doing a higher number of jobs right off the bat but have decreased the number of new customers that we have brought into the portfolio that are doing a lower number off the bat. So he has started to craft a couple situations that I'm aware of where we are doing a per-job type of pricing. So, again, I encourage you, if you have a situation where you think that would be a better offering, get with Javier, and he'll come up with something creative, you know, for those situations. And like anything, there's going to be pluses and minuses to it. So I would just encourage you to work with him.
Yeah, I mean, the three-tier pricing that you described earlier is definitely a big help. But this is just one other angle because, as you said, the competitive pressure on the pricing with this thing is crazy in some cases. So we just have to, you know, be creative.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and it don't rule it out is what I'm saying. It's not a part number, but it can be evaluated and created. I think they're very flexible with that.
All right. Very good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Next question comes from Frank Hicks.
Hey, George.
Hey, Frank.
Got a question around workload broker.
Yes.
If I'm running the jobs on a, let's say, a 16-core box, and I'm going to offload those jobs to a box not being utilized, let's say it's a 32-core box,
yep.
How do I license that?
So you have a 16-core box.
That I've licensed. Right.
Yeah. Well, to do Tivoli workload scheduling on either of those machines, you know, so the idea for Tivoli workload scheduler is that you're going to run a job, and you're going to run a job either on the 16-core box or the 32-core box. So you're going to have both of them licensed for Tivoli workload scheduler to be able to run a job on either one.
I got you. Okay. So all the boxes that I'm going to send jobs off to have to be in the original cluster.
That's right. Tivoli Workload Broker now is just included with Tivoli Workload Scheduler.
Okay.
So at the last topic of this presentation, we're going to talk about subcapacity, and specifically in those situations where you have the 16 ways, the 32 ways, the 64 ways, you know, some capacity might be another option for you to look at, you know, for these situations.
Yeah, I was just thinking if it's a box that's not being utilized, it's not part of the original cluster, I'll send the jobs over there temporarily and then bring them back. But it's not how it works.
Now, there is a situation with an active passive, but I wouldn't think a 16 and a 32 way would be set up as an active passive.
Right.
All right. So, and we can talk further about that one after the call if you want, Frank.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
Yes, we do have a few more.
Okay.
Next question comes from Bruce Bird.
Hey, George. It's Bruce Bird.
Hey, Bruce.
How are you?
Good.
How do the X agents fit into this? Are those the agentless solution you're talking about, and how are they priced?
Did you say X agents?
X agents, yes. My customer runs SAP. She was told that she needs X agents for the SAP servers.
You know, you've stumped me. I think I should give an award out for that. I have no idea what you're talking about with X agents, but I will certainly research that, Bruce, and I'll get back with you. And I'll send a note out to everybody because there may be other people that might have been affected by that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. All right.
Next question comes from Steve Gretzinger.
Hey, George.
Hey, Steve.
Guru, maybe you can answer this one. Is there such a thing as a workload scheduler for PeopleSoft/Oracle financials?
Yes. There are several applications. That's a true statement. There are a few applications that Tivoli Workload Scheduler for applications will work with, and one of them is Oracle, and one of them is SAP, and I believe one of them is Siebel, and one of them is PeopleSoft.
Okay. So the same thing applies as before with your SAP example.
That's correct. And that's really important because just because a customer has an application that they're going to schedule jobs on does not necessarily mean that they would have to have Tivoli Workload Scheduler for applications, because we do not make Tivoli Workload Scheduler for applications for every application that's out there. It's typically only the ones that are the high-profile applications.
And I guess this is a corollary. If you've got a highly virtualized sort of cloud environment, would the subcapacity be the best way to go for that?
Yeah, because you'd probably have a big 64-way box that's not that is only running that application on a small portion of the box, like maybe eight of the 64 cores, and so then you would only use probably Tivoli Workload Scheduler for application on eight of those cores.
Okay, thanks.
Next question comes from Ann Moore.
Hi, my question has to do with the TSRM, your example number two. And maybe I didn't have the presentation at first, and maybe you mentioned this that I didn't understand. Both sides for the concurrent license and the three managers that need access all the time list the same product, the D61 DRLL. Are they really using the same concurrent license, or is one of them meant to be the authorized?
One of them is meant to be the authorized. I apologize. I must have done a revision and taken that out of error. One of the managers are to be the authorized, and the shift workers are to be the concurrent. So, my bad.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for clarifying that. You know, I think what we probably ought to do is move on and see if we can get through and just have your questions answered at the end. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to move on to slide number 10. I believe it's 10. Yes, slide number 10. PPA prices for TATM. Okay, so slide number 10. PPA prices for TATM, and the next slide is going to be CCMDB, but here's just a quick matrix that shows the actual part numbers and what you get with each part number. You have the MSU host, you have the actual, you know, servers, and then if you notice, the clients are at 100-to-1 ratio, and then you have the base install for $86,000. The most important part of this page is that please don't, you know, mess around to try to, you know, figure out how many PBUs are necessary with a given environment. Just use the calculator that's listed, and it's a link. You know, if you hit that link, if you're in show mode, you press that link, you go right to the calculator. Right. So page down, there are different part numbers, but as you can see, they're actually the exact same price for CCMDB, where you have $86,100 for the base install, $25.75 per VU, $25.75 per, you know, VU for the Z environment. And then you have two additional part numbers. The first is a change management authorized user. If the database that is both TADM and CCMDB is used to approve changes, to look at changes, to view reports on changes, to, you know, manage the changes, you have two ways of doing that. One is an authorized user and one is a concurrent user. And so that really is the big separation point in between TADM and CCMDB. And again, there's the calculator there for this. So let's go to, I believe it's page 12, and we see that the structure that creates how we do the pricing for TADM and CCMDB. They call these tiers, and they're not necessarily tiers from a technology standpoint. There's no difference in the technology between tiers. It's just a way of describing, you know, a higher volume discount as you move from tier 1 through tier 6, and you're given a higher discount. The more you buy, the higher the discount is. It's the only way it describes it. Similar to, you know, income taxes, but the opposite. So going on to slide 13, we're going to get into our first example here. TADM example number one. So we have 500 servers and 300 network devices. I did nothing more than just open up that link and go right to the configuration management tool. And I put in 800, you know, devices. You know, they're called servers. It doesn't matter whether they're a network device or a server. Put all 800 in here. That gives me 11,600 VUs. It just it rounded up my 2575. It actually, you know, has the 2575 behind the scenes, but I rounded up the 2575 to $26. Gives me a total price of $298,700 for the VUs. And then we add the $86,100 to this for a total price of $384,800. So that's my, you know, 800 servers or 800 total devices, you know, cost $384,000 list price. TADM example number two, where we have a 400 MSU environment. We have 600 servers. We have 15,000 workstations. 300 network devices. So similar as the one before where we have just, you know, some servers and some network devices, but I added in clients here, and typically I often thought that there would be no reason ever to have clients as part of your CCMDB or TADM environment, but there are still quite a few environments out there that use workstations, and you would classify a workstation as, you know, something that's static, it's there all the time, it's always plugged in. And in that case, you know, it might be something you'd want to include as a configuration item. And so I've included the 15,000 in this configuration. And so first we have the base system, again, same as before. Now we've added in the 900 servers and network device combined, 15,000 clients. And then the next page down, or the next piece down, we have the MSUs. There's 400 MSUs. That gives us a total of 7,400 value units necessary. So you add all those three together, it's 670,625. So pretty simple. And that's all from the calculator. Okay. So let's take the example we had in example number one for Tatum, where we had the 500 servers and the 300 network devices. But then we also want two asset management workers that are responsible for reporting on and managing the assets for the company, and then 25 approvers or viewers that will need access to the system to approve. So there we have the two asset managers. It's a total of 2,160 with authorized user rights. That means they're able to get into the system at any time and view the list of assets in the configuration management database. And then we have 25 approvers that are sharing 10 concurrent connections for a total of $27,000. And the total price, $414,060. So pretty simple. And in this scenario, of course, the pricing was the same as Tatum, but you'd use different part numbers because you're actually utilizing the CMDB. All right, so we're going to go through NetCool Performance Flow Analyzer, and after this one, we'll pause for questions again. But NetCool Performance Flow Analyzer has been a very hot topic. I've gotten a lot of questions on this solution. You know, this product will play in the service provider market. This product will play in a large enterprise. This product will play in mid-market because of the price point and because I know that customers in the mid-market utilize tools like this to analyze their network performance. So to alleviate some of the, you know, confusion people have on the pricing, you know, and the demand that was given to Nancy, we've included Network Performance Flow Analyzer as part of this. But it really comes down to, you know, two part numbers is all you're dealing with. And one is a base install. And the other is the per resource value unit. It is a little tricky. That's why we're going to explain it. But you have RVUs with this product, similar to, you know, the Omnibus product, but the way you get to it is different. Now, there is one very, very important component here, and that is that we only want to calculate RVUs for the routers where we are going to analyze flow. And flow is, networks, you know, create, they have what we, I guess a general term is called pipes go through the network, and the amount of data that's going through those pipes is the flow. And the amount of data that goes from one end of a router to the other end of a router can be, we can grab that bit of information and analyze it. So you only want to analyze the flow that's going through, you know, key routers in your environment. And that's the only ones that we will need to license. We don't have to do the entire environment, just the pieces that are important to the customer. The two parts associated with this are the RVUs and then the base install, $50 per RVU, $10,000 for the base install. Right? And that's not $50 per device, that's $50 per RVU. Okay, so how do you figure devices? Or how do you figure RVUs? We classify devices in 8 categories. So, you know, a phone is 1 point. VoIP phone is 3 points. Wireless cell, 70 points. And on up the line to a large switch or CP core. And typically, you know, we're only dealing with the last four, the 70 through 5,000 are the ones that we would be assigning points to. There is a sizing guide, and the next page, let me see what page number this is. Page 19 is simply just a sample from the sizing guide. The Link TNPFA sizing guide is, you know, listed right there, and that'll take you to a page that'll list this sizing guide on it. And it lists technologies by vendor, so you're able to look at Huawei, Juniper, Cisco, which we have pulled up here, Nortel, Alcatel-Lucent, and you're able to see specifically, you know, what tier each of these devices would be classified as, if there's any question. You know, typically, like I say, they're in class, you know, 5 through 8, but if there's any question, you simply can, you know, go to this sizing guide and pull this information up. It sometimes was kind of the missing link in doing this pricing, so I wanted to make sure everybody had access to it. All right. Now, once you figure the number of points you're going to need to manage this environment, you put these points into this structure, and you multiply by the factor. So the two examples I've had, I made it very easy that both are going to fall into the 60,000 quantity, and that's going to be multiplied by a 0.050 factor. All right, so let's do pricing example number one. 6 edge servers that each are considered large branch routers. Notice how I'm using server and routers interchangeably here. Because, you know, at that point, they're kind of similar. But in any regard, these are considered large branch routers, and there's 6 of them. So we're going to need 1 base install, the D0AV8LL, and then we're going to need 6 large branch routers, 250 points times 6 is 1,500 points, times my 0.050 VU factor gives me 75 RVUs that are needed for this opportunity, and that's total price of $13,750. Obviously, this is a very small site, but I just wanted to point out that you have solutions in your bag that, you know, can go in and give the customer a tremendous amount of value for managing the performance of their network environment for not a lot of cost, and it can get our foot in the door to grow into other things. Next example, example number 2, 4 large core switches. In this example, you're going to need the base install, and then you're going to need the 4 large SP cores, 5,000 points per core. Make a 20,000 times 0.050 is 1,000 VUs needed, so 1,000 times 50, obviously 50,000, a total of $60,000 for this larger, you know, core environment. That's really the way that you do the TNPFA. So it's kind of a 3-step process. Identify the routers that you need to collect flow on. Assign a point system to each of those routers, and then multiply it by the factor to give you the VUs, and then you're able to get the price. So at that point, I'm going to pause for questions.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
And if you feel like you know, maybe I went too fast, or that wasn't helpful to you, and you need further explanation, please feel free to give me a call, you know, after this call or at some other time, and I can explain this further to you. But it sounds like, operator, there were no other questions on this.
We had one more.
Oh, okay.
From James Martin.
Okay.
Hey, George, can you hear me?
Hey, yes, I can, Jim.
Yeah, this is really good stuff, and I wish I had even more time, but just to clarify, back to TADM and CCMDB,
yes.
I just need to refresh my memory here. I think if you buy the TADM version, you also get the CCMDB, or if you buy CCMDB, do you get TADM as well? Is the reverse true? Am I correct here? Get me straight here.
Well, if you buy TADM and you license your CI environment, configuration item environment for TADM, and you're, you know, looking at the impact analysis and doing all that stuff, you have all those capabilities. The thing that you're not able to do is to have an authorized viewer go in and make changes to that configuration, you know, work with the process to approve or set up a release of new CIs. So the functionality difference between the two is the ability to have users actually interface with that database and, you know, make changes or set up processes for changes to be made and record those for auditing purposes.
Right. So if you license Tatum, you would not get the change management authorizer concurrent users. So is it best to price by CCMDB so you get both? Am I correct there?
Not necessarily. I mean, if a customer buys Tatum but then decides, wow, we really see the value in CCMDB, then they would just need to buy the authorized or concurrent licenses, and then they would have the functionality of CCMDB.
So they could buy the Tatum based licenses and then add CCMDB change management authorized users, for example?
That's correct. So, and the reason that I was given on the packaging of this is that you can go into some environments that have turf wars going on in their customer sets on who's the owner of the configuration management database. And we certainly would not want that to hold up a sell of a great product like Tatum. So, you know, it's packaged as Tatum to, you know, kind of get around that speed bump that our customers are setting in front of us.
But generally speaking, with the exception of the change management, if you buy one, you get the other?
Yep.
Okay, all right.
It's the exact same code.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Next question comes from Zen Petrovsky.
James just asked my question, so that question comes up all the time, and I knew the answer, but I just wanted to hear someone else say that was the case. Okay,
yep.
So I'm good.
Okay, very good. And there's also, the product manager escapes my mind right now. There was a couple other reasons, you know, behind doing it that way that they had explained to me. But base foundation product is exactly the same, and if a customer wants to start using CCMDB and then prior purchase Tatum, then they just need to buy the authorized or concurrent licenses to be able to manage the processes.
Right. Thank you very much.
You betcha. Okay. So is that all, operator?
Yes, no further questions.
Okay. All right. We're moving on to slide number 23, and that is Intellident. So Intellident is going to change in a couple months. But don't stop selling it. Please don't stop selling it. Don't stop asking customers about it. Don't stop positioning it with your customers. It's one of the few products that we have that is an absolute doer as opposed to a watcher. You know, it gets in there and will help your customer make changes to their network computing equipment. Here I've just outlined what their pricing is right now. Now, to price a solution, I would encourage you to contact Larry Carrick or Mark Armstrong if you need pricing information, or if you want to connect with the one of seven sales reps across the world that are subject matter experts on the tool, and they will help you craft this solution for your customer. But here's just kind of a base outline. The largest deal they ever did with the product was $10 million. I think the smallest, you know, you're typically going to see around $100,000, you know, for this. And then I will tell you this, that the pricing that's coming out, I've seen just a shell of it. It's going to map to our network management solutions that are priced per like an RVU type of metric. So you have a certain amount of devices that would need RVU coverage, and then you would have a specific technology that you would license a customer for, let's say, the Cisco technology or the Alcatel-Lucent technology, and then they would be entitled to, you know, utilize that for their environment. But the most important thing is to contact Larry, contact Mark. Very good technology. We've seen, I think, 6 or 7 sales since the inception of the product, which is very good for for acquisitions. And so we're really looking forward to great things here. All right, moving on, working with TechLine. This is an important subject because it'll speed up some of the processes that you have right now. Often we get RFPs and you have that, oh, no, moment that you're thinking, you know, I don't have enough time to respond to all this. How do I do it? How do I help? Or who do I need to get to help? TechLine is not going to do your RFP for you, but you're going to find some answers to some of the fundamental questions through some of these links in TechLine. You know, I think I'm on page 24 right now, but if we move on to page 25, we have the Tech Express. It's going to give you sample proposal, sample RFPs per technology. So per product solution, per technology, you're going to have sample RFPs and answers to questions that you can plug in. I've used it a couple times myself. It does work. You would think that IBM would have this information in a repository somewhere, and this is it. Don't scramble around looking for it. Just know that it's here. One contact that I'll give you. I've always utilized Margie Swords. I know, you know, Jim Martin is on the phone. He's used Margie in the past as well. I don't know who else has, but she's fantastic and to work with. And so I'd encourage you to reach out to Margie Swords, and it's spelled just like it sounds, S-O-R-D-S. And that's all really, you know, with the TechLine. They're there to help, and they can also help with the with your business partners as well. Pricing Z Linux, and this is on page 26, and I've got about 5 minutes left, so I'm gonna hit the next. I just have two topics. I'm gonna hit them kind of quick though. So Z Linux, most of our products that are for the distributed environment can also be sold into the Z Linux world, but it's important to try to figure out what is the pricing metrics that you need to use when pricing in the Z Linux world. So if you look at a ZBox, they have what are called IFLs, which is a, you know, the exact name escapes me, but it's a partitioned off set of engines that you can run Z virtual machine on, and that's just like VMware, but for the ZBox. And under this Z virtual, you know, machine, you can have hundreds of Linux servers running, you know, on that IFL. The IFL is broken up into a certain number of engines. Your customer knows how many engines they have on their IFL. It could be one engine, it could be 12 engines, but they're certainly going to know how many engines they have on their IFL. So if this is a Z10 and it has an IFL, they're going to need 120 PBUs per engine. Okay. If this is a Z9, a Z990, an S390, they're going to need 100 PBUs per engine. And again, this IFL will have several engines. Some of them may not be turned on, and in that case, you don't license the ones that are not turned on. You just license the ones that are operating and functioning. And so that's all you need to license in this environment. So the example, customer has 150 Linux servers on a Z9 with two engines. They want to run ITM to monitor this. That's what you would sell them. They would just simply need 20 of the 10 packs, which are D5620LL, ITM for Linux Z, for a total of 200 PBUs. That's just $1,650. So it's a very economical way, you know, to manage your environment as well. So that's not why you would typically, you know, move to that platform, so that it would be less cost to manage it. But if your customer has moved to that platform, it is a less expensive proposition to manage it typically than looking at licensing ITM across 150 separate, you know, Intel boxes. So very simple explanation of how to do Z Linux for the distributed environment. Okay, and subcapacity. Subcapacity, I'm going to come back to page 27, but I'm going to skip down to page 28 for the moment. And in regular full capacity, if you have, let's say, ITKM, Tivoli Workload Scheduler, on an 8-core box, full capacity is you'd license both of those products across that entire environment. So you need 8 cores times the number of PBUs for that specific server, and that's what you'd need to license. Now, if you had a sub-capacity agreement in place and you're just doing Tivoli Workload Scheduler on 4 of those cores, you would just license Tivoli Workload Scheduler for 4 of those cores. It's that simple. I mean, that's all you need to know about sub-capacity as far as the, how it works. However, it is a little bit more complicated than that, and your customer has to sign a sub-capacity agreement, and in that sub-capacity agreement, they agree to download the Tivoli, or the license metric tool, and this license metric tool will specifically say where these products are running and on which core and how often they run on those cores. And if they don't do that, that they're in a non-compliant situation with their sub-capacity agreement. And so those are two important things, that they will need to download the license metric tool, and they will need to have a way to report to us how many cores, in our example, Tivoli Workload Scheduler is running on. And each server technology has a different way of partitioning their environments, and that's also spelled out in the fine print of the sub-capacity agreement. So with that, the last page 30 is just a list of some resources. You know, I wanted to say thank you for all those who hung in through all of these pricing presentations. We do solicit your feedback. You know, if you have feedback, hey, this is good, we want more of this, or this isn't so good, we'd like to see it this way, please don't hesitate to send that to me or Nancy, and we'll make sure to do whatever we can to accommodate. But with that, I'm going to open it up to any further questions for those people who want to stay on. I'm certainly available for as long as I need to.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Next question comes from Anthony Yen.
Oh. Hi, George.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing? I wanted to switch back to the TWS section of the presentation, if everyone else is finished with their question first, actually.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. You mentioned licensing for TWS for applications for just the application servers. We have some customers who run their database servers separately from the application servers on SAP, and we have been counting those database servers. Do we still continue to count them? The sales announcement says that the databases must be counted as well.
Oh, absolutely. The database would need to be counted. Not as Tivoli Workload Scheduler for application, but it would be Tivoli Workload Scheduler.
The base level
base
product.
Yeah.
Really?
The base level
okay.
product. Yeah.
Well, okay. So, because they don't have, they don't run jobs on those database servers. The database servers just host SAP data. So in other words, like their SAP installation is so large that the application servers live on their own server, and the database servers only host the database, but they only serve SAP data. And
okay.
And so what we've interpreted that to mean is that that they still need to license the database servers for TWS for applications. Is that
okay.
Is that the right way, Phil?
You know what, Anthony? I don't know, but I'm going to find out because it would make sense to me that they wouldn't license those because they're not running jobs on them. But
right.
I can't see. I have a hard time figuring out why they wouldn't need to run jobs on those. So let me further investigate and get a clear answer for you. I know that we rely on you for so many of our TWS opportunities, so it's important that you know exactly how this is
okay.
set up. So
yeah.
Let me get that back to you then.
Okay. Yeah, the sales announcement has guided us because it says all servers, applications, and databases, and so we interpreted that a little conservatively, but it does make sense to us. I mean, we have had questions from the customers saying that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but they've been paying so far.
Yep. Well, I had always superseded that with the language prior to that that says only license it where jobs are running. So
right. So okay.
So let me find out once and for all for you and send it back.
Okay, I'll send you an email with a link to where I found
that
wording as well.
So. Okay.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Certainly, Jim Martin has a question. Maybe not.
No, there's no further question.
Okay. All right. Well, Nancy, thanks for getting this put together. Thanks, everyone, for joining. And again, I'll get this follow-up back to everyone. And have a fantastic Memorial weekend. We all deserve it. And be fun to close out June all refreshed. And with that, talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.